This is a special report from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Sentencing day for Taylor Shabusiness in Green Bay, Wisconsin. Taylor Shabusiness, the woman that has been found guilty of suffocating Chad Thyron with a dog chain collar before decapitating him and further dismembering his body. This is the same woman who you may remember attacked her attorney in court recently. She appeared today in Brown County Courthouse in Green Bay, Wisconsin, in an orange jumpsuit and what appears to be the largest COVID mask ever, literally covering her entire face down to her chest in what appears to be some sort of a cloth material, almost like if you took the legs off of a large pair of pants and wrapped it around your face. Other than a ginormous look at me stunt from someone who is not well, I don't know what else to make of it. I've never seen such a thing. Let's now go to the courtroom and hear part one of the sentencing hearing today in the Taylor Shabusiness trial.
Okay, I'll call 20 CF998, 20 CF1393, 22 CF363. State appears by Assistant District or Deputy District Attorney Caleb Saunders. The defendant is here in person and with Attorney Fralick. We're on the court's calendar for sentencing hearing today, as well as sentencing on revocation on those earlier files. Is the state ready to proceed, Mr. Saunders?
I'm sorry, Judge.
Is the state ready to proceed?
We are.
Mr. Fralick?
Yes.
Okay, I've got a copy of the pre-sentence investigation report that was ordered by the court. I have a copy of the independent pre-sentence investigation report that Mr. Fralick had submitted. I've had an opportunity to read both. I've also got some submittals that were submitted by Mr. Fralick. So let me start with the pre-sentence investigation report that was ordered by the court. Mr. Saunders, did you get a copy of that?
I did.
Did you get a copy of the other documents, including Mr. Fralick's independent evaluation?
Yes.
Okay. Mr. Fralick, did you get a copy of the PSI that was ordered by the court?
Yes, by the Department of Corrections, Your Honor. Yes, I did.
All right. Any changes or corrections?
No. I can tell the court that I did review that with my client this past Friday at the Brown County Jail. For several hours, we went through the entire document, talked about it, talked about the recommendations that the Department of Corrections for the state of Wisconsin was making, and there are no changes.
All right. Then let me just get a sense of how the proceeding is going to work. Does the state have any witnesses you intend to call at the sentencing hearing today?
No witnesses. There is one victim impact statement that would like to be orally addressed to the court, but no witnesses per se.
Okay. Mr. Fralick, do you intend to call witnesses today?
Yes, I do, Your Honor.
And can you give me a sense of how many you intend to call?
Sure. One would be my client's grandmother, Esther Coronado. She resides in Temple, Texas, and I believe she would appear via Zoom with the court's permission. I have Dr. James O'Donnell here from Illinois, the toxicologist, pharmacologist. He would provide some testimony about the meth use and the effects of that. Valerie Armour, that's my client's cousin. She's here from Ohio with my client's great aunt, Roberta, but only Valerie Armour would provide testimony. And then I have my client's father brought here from the prison system via writ of habeas corpus to provide some testimony, and his name is Arturo Coronado.
Okay. My thought is, as long as we have witnesses, we should probably take the witnesses first rather than, and then once the witnesses have all testified, then we can receive argument from counsel. Any objection to that, Mr. Saunders?
No.
Mr. Fralick?
No, Your Honor.
All right, that would mean, although we typically start with the state, that would mean we would turn to you, Mr. Fralick, because you're the only one with the witnesses. So if you want to call your first witness, you can do so.
Okay. Before I do that, Your Honor, if I may, I did receive the independent pre-sentence investigation report. It's lengthy. It contains an attached alcohol and other drug assessment. I reviewed that entire document, the evaluation and the report, with my client last evening at the Brown County Jail. We had a lengthy conversation again to talk about this case. And with that said, I would call Esther Coronado, my client's grandmother.
Okay. Is she coming in on the Galaxy Tab E?
I believe yes.
Okay, so I'm seeing that on my laptop, but I'm not seeing it on the screen. Okay. So are you Ms. Coronado?
Yes.
Okay. What I'm going to do is I'm going to place you under oath, and then Mr. Fralick is going to have some questions for you, and the prosecutor may or may not have some questions. But I'm going to start by asking you to raise your right hand. Do you swear the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
Very good. Mr. Fralick, the witness is yours.
Thank you so much, Your Honor. Ma'am, you are Esther Coronado?
Yes.
And what is your date of birth?
January 1st, 1942.
Okay. And are you married?
Yes.
Are you married to Juan Coronado?
Yes.
Okay. And where do you live, ma'am?
Temple, Texas. Okay.
And do you know Taylor Denise Shabusiness?
Yes.
Can you see her?
She's
in?
My granddaughter.
What's that?
She's my granddaughter.
Okay. Can you see her here in court?
Yes, I do.
Okay. You've known her all of your life, correct?
Yes.
What is her father's name?
My father's name?
No. Taylor's father. What's his name?
Oh, Arturo Coronado.
Okay. That's your son, correct?
Yes.
Okay. When Taylor was growing up as a young girl, did she live with you in Temple, Texas?
No. No. When she was growing up, we were in Illinois. Okay. And that's where, I took care of her.
You would take care of her when you lived in Illinois?
Yes. Okay.
Did you help care for her after she was born?
Yes.
Did there come a time when you moved to the state of Texas?
Yes, it was in 2004.
2004?
Yes.
And is that when you moved to the Temple, Texas area?
And no, we moved back home. Yeah, that's in Cotulla.
Okay. Did you ever live in Cotulla, Texas?
Yes.
kind of fast forwarding, when your granddaughter Taylor Shabusiness got a little older, did there come a point in time where she gave birth to a baby?
Yes.
And what's the baby's name?
Mateo.
Okay. And where's Mateo right now?
He's with me.
The child lives with you in Texas?
Yes.
So you're caring for Taylor's child, correct?
Correct.
How old is the child?
He'll be 2 in October 3rd.
Okay. Was there a point in time where your granddaughter, Taylor Shabusiness, went into some kind of therapy or counseling or treatment program and then got released and then came to live with you before the baby was born?
I believe so.
Okay.
I do not know about what happened in Wisconsin. I only know that she wanted to have the baby with in Texas with me because I was the only family close to her.
Okay. And so she had the baby in Texas, correct?
Correct.
Was that in like October of 2021?
Yes.
Okay. And when the baby was born, tell me a little bit about Taylor Shabusiness. Was she interacting with the baby? How did that go? Can you tell me about that?
Yes. Well, she was excited went to, when she found out that about the baby. I know that when she came down, she wanted to be close to somebody, a relative. And so when she had the baby, she was very happy and loved that baby. But it didn't last very long because 24 hours later, CPS came and took the baby away.
When you say CPS, you mean Child Protective Services?
Yes.
Okay, please continue. We're going to say some more.
Yes, I was going to say that after that, well, it was very hard for her. And they had told her that, well, I was there with her when they came and took the baby away. But they said I couldn't bring him home because she was here at home. But she said she would rather go to a shelter so I could bring the baby home. But that didn't happen. She left from the hospital, went to a shelter, but the baby didn't come home to me until a month later.
Okay. So at the current time, at the present time, you have the baby with you, correct?
Correct.
And you and your husband, Juan, are caring for the baby, correct?
Correct.
You sent me some photographs of Taylor Shabizis, your granddaughter, with the baby after the child was born, correct?
Correct.
You sent me some pictures of her rocking the baby, kissing the baby's head, interacting with the baby, snuggling with the baby. Is that fair?
Yes. Those pictures of her in the rocker, and that's when they would allow her to go. He was placed with another family before he came to me, and they would allow her to visit with him with the permission of the court. And the people that were caring for that baby at that time would bring him over, and she would only have a few minutes, an hour maybe with the baby, and that's, she would spend with him.
Okay. After the baby was born or prior to the baby being born, did your granddaughter, Taylor, go out and buy clothes for the baby, onesies, outfits, things of that sort?
Yes, she did. She did. We had everything prepared for the baby here at home. And her grandparents, her grandfather and aunt, sent her a crib. We had the clothes, everything, waiting for the baby after she was released from the hospital. But she did not come home because CPS would not allow it. We couldn't bring the baby home either. He was placed with another couple. And they told her she had to have to live someplace else, so she went to a shelter, and she was there at a shelter so I would be able to bring the baby home with me.
Okay.
So she never came home with me after the baby was born. From the hospital, the next day, she went to a shelter, but we did not bring the baby home because they had facing with another family.
Okay. So but right now the baby is with you, correct?
Yes, right now the baby is with me.
And the plan is likely that you're going to have permanent custody or placement of the child with you and your husband, right?
Well, we're adopting him.
Okay.
We're adopting him. Taylor gave up her rights so that I could have a Mateo, because we didn't want him going to anybody else, but to stay in the family.
Sure. Okay. From your observations of Taylor Shabizis with the baby, did it appear that she was, connected with the baby, or can you give me any feedback on that?
Yes, she was. She loved her baby. She prepared the things for the baby. Well, because she thought he was going to be coming home. She was setting up things for him, but he never got to come home, and she didn't get to come home either, because right from the hospital, she went to a shelter, and we came home, but we didn't bring the baby with us. He didn't come home to us until about a month later.
Okay. Some other questions for you. Do you have a close connection with Taylor Shabizis, you and your husband Juan?
Yes.
Okay. I think you sent some pictures of you and your husband Juan with Taylor Shabizis in the middle. Is that right?
Correct. Yes.
You both love each other very much. Is that fair?
Yes. We went to visit her in Wisconsin. That's where we took the pictures, because she had her own apartment. She was doing well, and we went to see her, and that's when we took the picture.
Okay. When she was living in Wisconsin, was she working at a cheese factory, Saputo Cheese? Do you remember?
Yes, she was. She was working there. She was doing good. So we communicated back and forth. He would call every week. And then later on, I didn't hear from her for a while until she told me, that about the baby, and she wanted to come and be with me so she could have the baby. And I told her that would be fine. So she came down to Temple.
Okay. She graduated from high school in Texas, correct?
Correct.
And that was at Catula High School?
Yes.
And I looked at some reports and records that she may have graduated in 2016. Is that about accurate?
I think so. I don't remember, but it probably is correct.
And when she was attending Catula High School, did she live with you in Texas?
Yes, she did.
Okay. How long did she live with you before she graduated from high school in Texas?
Oh, maybe about a year and a half.
And during the time that she lived with you for a year and a half prior to her graduation, did you note any problems with drug use or other issues?
No. I didn't notice.
Okay.
Any of that.
Okay. And when she lived with you in Texas, was she involved in any kind of sports or activities at all, like soccer or swimming or anything like that?
No, because it was almost her last year. So what she did was she just worked. She got several jobs there, just working maybe a Dairy Queen. It's a small town. There's not that much work there. So she would work at different places.
Okay. Do you know if she was on any kind of medication at all when she lived with you in Texas before she graduated high school?
I believe so, but I really don't know what kind of medication she was on.
You talked to some probation agents or professional people from the Wisconsin Department of Corrections when the pre-sentence report was prepared, correct? You were interviewed?
Now?
Yeah.
Okay.
When this report was done, did you get interviewed by someone from the Department of Corrections?
No.
Okay.
I got interviewed by three persons that said they to work with you, but I don't know if that was true or not. I don't. But I was interviewed by three, someone that said they worked for you.
Okay. Your son is Arturo Coronado, and when he got divorced, did that have an impact on your granddaughter Taylor?
Well, when he got divorced, my granddaughter has been on her own for a while.
Okay. When Taylor's mother passed away in 2009, did that have an impact on Taylor?
Yes, it did, because she had just lost her mother, and a year later her father remarried, and the person he married had children of her own, so she was kind of didn't feel, well, she felt like she lost her mother, and now she was losing her dad because there were other kids involved in there.
Your son got married to a lady named Katie after Marla passed away, correct?
Katie?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. And did Taylor ever talk to you about the fact that she didn't get along with her stepmom?
Taylor always kept everything to herself. She never said things about people. I know that she didn't feel comfortable. She felt like it was too soon after her mother passed away. And her father remarried, and she felt like abandoned. And then here, she was in a home where there was three children, but one of them I know that lives with the father, but two of them were living there, and her brother lived in the basement, And so she just from a nice home that she had, then she ended up living in the basement. But she, like I said, she never complained to me or said anything. But I went to visit them, and I could see that, you know, she felt misplaced. But now other siblings.
Okay. You're aware of the criminal charges and the convictions that resulted after the trial in this case, correct?
Yes, I think so. I don't know too much about it, but yes, I know that. That they found her guilty, and they want her to spend her life in jail. And I think that she has gone through a lot in her short time of being here. She has gone through a lot. There's a lot of things that she has to, losing her mother, her father remarried, then her find herself pregnant and losing her son, and then losing her brother. So that's a lot for a young person to take in.
And ma'am, your granddaughter, Taylor Denise Shabizas, she's 25 years old.
Yes.
She had a brother, Arturo J. Coronado, AJ Coronado, correct?
Yes. Correct.
And is it your understanding that he passed away or he died in a motorcycle accident on or about July 1st of 2022?
Correct. That's right.
Did your granddaughter, Taylor, talk to you about that after it happened?
No. I know she was very heartbroken, but she was there in Wisconsin. She had lost her baby. She was locked up and her brother, and that was very hard for her.
Okay. You sent me some pictures of Taylor with her brother AJ, correct?
Yes.
There's a picture of the two of them together with AJ having his hat on backwards. They appear to be happy. Is that fair?
Yes, that's correct.
There was another picture where AJ, Taylor, and your son Arturo were all together as well, correct?
Correct.
Did they all get together with you in Illinois, or was that in Texas? Those pictures, where were they from? Were they from Texas or?
No, those were pictures when they lived there in Wisconsin.
Okay.
The ones with the baby were here in Texas, but the ones with her brother and her father, that's when they were living there in Wisconsin.
Okay. Are you a close-knit family, or have you been a close-knit family in the past?
Yes, we've always been very close. I took care of Taylor when she was born, but then we left for Texas, and so when I left her, she was, I would say, maybe about 7 years old or 8 years old. And I would try and see him at least once a year. But then as the years passed, you know, we weren't able to travel that much. So I hadn't seen her for a while.
Do you know if your daughter visited other family members in Ohio in the past with AJ?
I believe so. When they were young, their mother used to drive to Ohio and take them. But I do not know if later on, as they got older, if they did or not.
Do you know if Marla Coronado would take the kids, AJ and Taylor, to Ohio to visit cousins or aunts?
Yes, she did.
Okay.
She would take them. You know, to visit her dad and her brother and sister in Ohio.
Your granddaughter, Taylor, is she close with your husband, Juan, with Grandpa?
Yes, she is. Okay. She's very close with her grandfather.
When Taylor was living with you in Illinois and then later on, in Texas, when she was going to high school at Catula High School, did she listen to you and follow the rules and all of that?
She did listen to me and follow some rules, but sometimes she wouldn't. She wouldn't. She wanted to do something, but like I said, she wanted to go stay by friend's house, but I would say, no, Dad, let him come and stay here with you. So she did bring a friend of hers to stay overnight by us. Like I said, Taylor only lived with me there in Texas for maybe about a year and a half until she graduated from high school. Then she wanted to get back to Green Bay.
Okay. Fair to say that you've always had a close relationship with Taylor, both you and your husband?
Yes, we have. is.
You heard about and found out about her involvement with drugs, correct?
Yes. Yes, I did. I found out later on because she used to call me, and then for a while she didn't get, she wasn't calling anymore, but I try and, you know, always try to keep in touch with her. But then afterwards I found out that she was pregnant, and she asked if she could come down and have the baby over here by me. And I said that that would be fine, because she didn't have anybody else that she could turn to over there. So she wanted to be by me. So I told her to go ahead and come down.
Okay. Now, she's been found guilty by a jury of first-degree intentional homicide felony, mutilation of a corpse, and third-degree sexual assault, all felony offenses, all as repeaters. For the first-degree intentional homicide conviction, the Wisconsin law is such that the sentence is life in prison, life imprisonment, and the issue really is whether she should be given the opportunity for extended supervision or possibility of parole or not. Do you have any thoughts on that? Do you have any input on that issue?
Well, I do. I believe that she has gone, in her short life, she has gone through a lot. And like I said, first losing her mother at the age of 12, then a year later, her father remarried. And there she felt misplaced there too. Then she went on her own and was doing well. And then all of a sudden, everything started falling apart for her. I don't know what happened in between because we weren't communicating then. But then after she found out that she was pregnant, she wanted to come and be with me, but she wanted to have at least a relative of hers close by. And we were always very close since I took care of her when she was born until I left Illinois in 2004.
Would you agree that your granddaughter, Taylor Shabizis, needs some drug treatment, some counseling, all of that?
I do. I do believe that she does need some counseling and some help. She needs help.
Do you believe that she has good qualities?
Yes.
What are they?
She's a very caring person and also very trusting. She trusted people that said they care for her, and actually always she was, what can I say, that she always ended up getting hurt because she trusted people thinking they cared. But she's always have had the problem that wherever she goes, people just use her and she thinks they care, but they don't. They have disappointed her.
Do you believe that your granddaughter, Taylor Shabizis, should be given the chance to possibly be on parole or extended supervision sometime in the future?
I do. I do believe. I know that she committed a crime, and I know that they want her to pay for it, but I believe that she should have the opportunity to come back to society one time and be with her son.
Okay. Thank you very much. No further questions from me.
Any questions, Mr. Saunders?
No, thank you.
Okay. Thank you, ma'am. Were you intending that she was going to stay on the Zoom, or she can? You can certainly disconnect now if you want, ma'am, or you can remain on. But having said that, Mr. Fralick, do you have another witness?
Yes, I do, Your Honor. It's totally up to the court, but if in my opinion, if she wants to stay on, I would ask the court to consider allowing her to do that.
I think I just told her that.
So okay.
She can stay on if she wants.
Okay, thank you. Next, then, I would call Valerie Armour.
To get the microphone on.
Oh, sorry. Is it on? Okay. My name's Valerie Armour. It's spelled V-A-L-E-R-I-E. Armour spelled A-R-M-O-R.
Okay, the witness is yours, Mr. Fraley.
Thank you very much, Your Honor. You are Valerie Armour?
Yes, I am.
And where do you live?
I live in Dublin, Ohio.
Are you married?
Yes, I'm married.
What's your husband's name?
Brian Armour.
Do you have kids?
Yes, I do. I have four children.
Okay. Are you employed, ma'am?
Yes, I am.
Where do you work at?
I work at Sun Behavioral Health. I'm a psychiatric nurse practitioner.
And what do you do there?
I work inpatient psychiatry with adolescents and adults.
How long have you worked there?
I've worked there for 5 years.
And tell me your educational background, just briefly.
I have 2 degrees from The Ohio State University. My first degree was a Bachelor's of Nursing in 1996, and my second degree was Master's of Science, Nurse Practitioner in Psychiatry in 2016.
Do you know Taylor Denise Shubusiness?
Yes, I do.
Do you see her in court today?
Yes, I do.
She's seated to my left?
Yes, she is.
And are you related to her?
Yes, I am.
Can you tell the court how you're related?
So her mother is my first cousin. Marla is my first cousin, and Taylor's my second cousin.
Are you also here with your mother?
Yes, I am.
What's her name?
Roberta Connor. Okay.
And does she live in Ohio as well?
Yes, she does.
You came here together?
Yes, we did.
And what's the relationship with Roberta and Taylor?
Roberta is Taylor's great aunt. She is the older sister of Taylor's grandfather.
When Taylor was growing up, would you see her periodically in Ohio? Would she come to visit in Ohio?
Yes, she would.
Tell me a little bit about that.
A couple of visits that I remember in particular, one was in the summer of 2001 when we were going through my grandfather's house. He had passed away in May 2001, and we gathered as a family to get together and go through belongings. Taylor was 3 at that time, and AJ was a baby.
And was there a picture of Taylor when she was 3 in a... like maybe a little skirt with a red top and tights?
Yes.
And was she standing by you?
Yes, she was.
And who else was in that picture, you remember?
Marla was standing next to me on the left, and then my cousin was standing next to Marla.
Okay, and where was that picture taken?
That was taken in Grove City, Ohio, okay. At my grandfather's house.
Okay. So have you had a connection with... Taylor Shubusiness over the years?
Yes, I have.
Did she come to visit you on other occasions?
Yes, she came down for a family reunion in 2013 that we had when she was 15.
That was with your daughter?
Yes.
Was that the picture that you gave me of you in the middle, your daughter on one side, and Taylor Shabizis on the other side?
Yes, it is.
And where was that picture taken?
That was taken at a park, I think on the east side of Columbus, where we had the family reunion.
Inside a pavilion?
Yes, inside a pavilion.
Okay. And describe Taylor at that time in 2013, from what you recall.
She appeared to be a happy 15-year-old girl. She had a great sense of humor, like her mother. She appeared to be well-adjusted at that time. I enjoyed visiting with her and asking her how her life was going. And I had always told her I'd be available to her after her mother passed away.
Did you know about the losses that she suffered in her life? The loss of her mother, Marla, in 2009, and the loss of her brother, AJ, in July of 22?
Yes, I did. I grew up with her mother. We were very close as children. We spent holidays, summer vacations, and weekends together at my grandparents' house in Grove City, because when I was a child, I had moved to the East Coast. But we spent, you know, weeks together in the summer playing, planning our future lives, playing with Barbies. We were very close as children.
Did you talk to Taylor about her feelings and how the loss of her mother affected her?
I did. I remember at Marla's funeral afterwards telling her I would always be available to her if she wanted to know more about her mother. I certainly would be available to tell her what she was like as a child, and I would be available for her the rest of her life if she needed anything. I lived in a different state, but I've always made myself available to her.
I think you gave me a picture of, tell me if you did, of Taylor and her brother AJ when they were younger, maybe with Taylor eating either a pulled pork on a bun on a plate, or you remember anything like that?
Yeah, that was after her mother's funeral. We were at my cousin's house in Hilliard, Ohio, for the family gathering. We had both sides of the family there. Art's family was there, and my family was there.
Would you agree that Taylor always had a supportive family, either in Ohio or Texas or Wisconsin?
Absolutely.
And from the context that you had with her growing up, did she appear to be a happy young lady, happy child?
She did at that time.
You came to find out about the charges and the trial and the convictions, correct?
Yes.
You're aware of what she's been found guilty of, correct?
Yes, I am.
And you're aware of the maximum possible penalties and all of that, correct?
Yes.
At least as to the first degree intentional homicide charge, the statute indicates life imprisonment with either the possibility of extended supervision or parole or not. You understand that?
Yes, I do understand that.
Do you have any comments for the court to consider on that particular issue?
I do. I have some comments about that.
Okay, go ahead.
So Taylor, she comes from a loving family. I know her to be loving. I know her to have empathy. She's capable of love. I believe she has suffered immense trauma in her young life. First with losing her mother in 2009. Anytime somebody loses their mother at any age, it's a great trauma and a tragedy. So she grew up without her mother. And then from what I've heard, living with her stepmother and her father, I had always heard that they had slept in the basement. So
who slept in the basement?
That Taylor and AJ had slept in the basement.
Okay.
When her father remarried. We had always heard that in the family. In 2019, we suffered more losses in the family. Taylor lost her grandmother in May. And then in September of 2019, we lost a cousin who was 27 to a motor vehicle accident. That would have been Taylor's first cousin. At that time, at that funeral, when I spoke with her father and AJ, she was doing well. She was working at the cheese factory. Her father, Art, was very proud of her at that time because she was doing well. And then I found out, had lost touch with her during the pandemic and found out about what had happened when we found out AJ passed away July 1st, 2022. That's when all this came out. So she lost her brother. to a motorcycle accident. So our whole family has experienced a lot of loss, and Taylor has experienced a great amount of loss. I'm a mental health professional. She has a trauma history, and I believe she has mental health issues. I'm hoping, as she goes forward, she can get the help she needs, and with some deep introspection, be able to work on her issues. And I'm here to be as much as I can with her on her next journey of life, as much as I can.
Do you have any comments on whether she should be considered for the possibility of parole or extended supervision?
I would like her to be considered for parole. I would like her to get a chance later in life to get to know her son. I think that would be very important to her, to be able to spend some time with him in person as she gets older, and other family members who are still around. Definitely.
Do you agree that Taylor needs drug and alcohol treatment?
Absolutely.
Do you agree that she needs mental health counseling?
Absolutely. And she needs to deal with her extensive trauma history.
You believe that she may need medication management?
Yes, I do. Absolutely.
Is she a lost cause?
She's not a lost cause.
Is she a monster?
No, she's not a monster.
She needs to be punished, correct?
She does need to be punished for what happened, and my family, we regret what happened, and we apologize to Shad's family for what has happened.
I have nothing further. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Any cross-examination from the state?
No, thank you.
Okay, thank you, ma'am. You can step down.
I'd like to call Arturo Coronado next.
Okay.
Please.
That's fine. Okay. As we're waiting, we're going to take the video off of you, Mr. Saunders. There is still the video running, however, for the grandmother. So she's, you can't see her, but she still has the ability to look in. Okay?
Okay, Your Honor.
over here.
Please raise your right hand. You solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth in the matter, now before the court, so help you God. Please have a seat and state and spell your name for the record.
Arturo Coronado.
Okay.
A-R-T-C-O-R-O-N-A-D-O.
Mr. Frelick, the witness is yours.
Thank you very much. Mr. Coronado, good morning. Your daughter is Taylor Denise Shabusiness, correct?
Correct.
And when she was born, she was born in Evanston, Illinois?
Yes.
And she lived with you and your late wife, Marla, there for several years till when, age 12 or so?
So 2009, yeah.
Okay. And then your late wife, she passed away. Did that take a toll on your daughter?
Of course.
Can you tell me how that impacted your daughter from, you know, from what you saw, what you observed?
Just, she was young. I mean, she lost her mother, you know, and it's just hard to explain. But, yeah, things are, you know, aren't the same.
It was a traumatic event for her. Is that fair?
Of course. Sure.
And then at some point, the family moved from Evanston, Illinois to Green Bay in 2008. Is that right?
Correct.
And you came to Green Bay because of a job, correct?
Correct.
Okay. And then you lived here for a while in Green Bay, correct?
Yes.
She went to Bayport High School, correct?
Correct.
She went to Bayview Middle School, correct?
Howard Tomical School District.
Yes. And then at some point, there were some issues at the Bayport High School, and she went to Cotulla, Texas, correct?
Graduate, yeah.
Yeah. And she lived with your parents, Esther and Juan Coronado, in Temple, Texas. Is that right?
Correct.
And she graduated?
Yes.
And was that about 2016 or so?
I believe so, yeah.
Okay. You know, when you live with her, was school a struggle for her, or was she able to do the work?
From time to time. I mean, she did okay. She had some issues. You know, nothing out of the ordinary.
Okay. I'm just going to see if you could just move the microphone a little closer, or move a little closer, because I can't hear you. Sorry. would you help with homework and things like that?
Sure.
When you got remarried, did that take a toll on your daughter, Taylor?
I would think so, yeah.
Okay. Did you try to help in that regard to kind of bridge the gap?
Yep.
Okay. When she was living in Green Bay as a child, did you get her involved in any sports or activities?
She, before I moved up, she was in soccer. She did band for a little bit.
Okay. Swimming?
No.
Okay. With regards to soccer, was she good at soccer? She liked it?
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Did you do some coaching?
I did.
Okay. Was that over at the Asco Noble Field, or where was that?
No, this is in Illinois, actually.
Okay. Did she play soccer in Illinois and Wisconsin?
No. I think she may have tried out, but she didn't follow through with it, so.
Okay.
She did a little volleyball as well.
Okay. So she was involved in activities, correct?
Sure.
What about art or drawing or things like that? Was she good at that?
Yes.
Can you tell?
She's pretty good. She's a pretty very good artist. She can draw quite well.
Okay. Were you impressed by some of the pictures and things that she drew?
Definitely.
Does she have some artistic talents?
She does.
She have a creative side?
Yes.
When she was younger, would she help people? If someone needed help, would she help?
Yes, yes, she would.
And I think in the pre-sentence report on page 17 of 38, you talked with a probation agent, and you indicated he stated, this is you, you're the he stated she was a good person, kind-hearted, and helped others out. Is that what you said?
Always, yeah.
Okay. Now,
always went out of her way to help.
Okay. When she got a little older, after school, did she have a job here?
She did.
Where?
Big Beef City.
Okay.
Her first job.
Okay. What did she do there?
She was she worked the cashier and she did a little bit of cooking in the back.
Okay. Did she also get a job at Saputo Cheese Factory?
That was later on. Sure.
Okay. Yep. And what did she do over there?
She was an operator. She worked third shift.
Okay.
She worked there about 3.5 years. She did really well.
Made decent money, correct?
Yeah.
She liked the job?
Yep.
And when she was working at Saputo Cheese Factory, was she living with you here in Green Bay?
No.
Okay. She had her own apartment?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, she lived with us for a little bit, but then she moved out with a friend.
Okay. Would you keep in touch with her?
Of course.
Your relationship with her, is it good?
Definitely. Yeah. Okay.
I received some pictures. There are all kinds of pictures that you would take together as a family, correct? Yes?
As much as we could, yeah. Yeah.
When she was living with your parents, Esther and Juan, in Texas, Temple, Texas, you'd take fam photos there, correct?
Yes.
And when AJ was still alive, you'd take family photos with him, correct?
Of course.
Was AJ pretty close with Taylor?
Yes.
Okay. He liked to ride motorcycles?
He just started to.
And would he let Taylor ride the motorcycle as well?
No.
Okay. But those two were how far apart in age?
About 2 years.
2 years?
2 years, yeah. They were very close.
Okay. They'd get together with extended family in Ohio, correct?
When we could, yeah. Mostly when they were younger.
Okay. And they'd certainly get together with your parents in Texas, correct?
Yes.
And so does Taylor have a strong family support network in the state of Texas and or Ohio?
Sure. Everybody loves Taylor.
Think she's a monster?
No.
You understand what she was found guilty of by the jury, correct?
I do.
First degree, intentional homicide, mutilation of a corpse, third degree, sexual assault, all felonies, all repeaters. You understand that, correct?
I do.
You understand the penalties, correct? And for the homicide conviction, it's life imprisonment. But the issue is whether she gets the possibility of extended supervision or not, possibility of parole or not. Do you have any thoughts on that? Do you have any comments for the court on behalf of your daughter?
Sure. I don't think she needs a life imprisonment. I mean, the mistakes were made. You know, her not being in the right state of mind when it happened, you know, has a lot to do with it. Her whole life, she was a good kid. You know, drugs mess people up, and that's what happened. But I don't think that she deserves life.
You think she should
She has a child, you know, and it'd be nice for her to be able to see her child.
You agree she's got to be punished, correct?
Well, yeah. Yes.
Okay. But is it your testimony that you believe she should be given a chance at the possibility of parole sometime in the future?
Most definitely, yes.
Or extended supervision, that's what they call it. Yes?
Yes.
You knew that your daughter Taylor got involved with Warren Schaubo, correct?
Yes.
And he was the one that introduced her to drugs, correct?
Correct.
Meth specifically, correct?
Correct.
Intravenous drug use, correct?
She was like night and day. She completely changed. It's a different person.
You believe your daughter got addicted to the methamphetamine or other drugs?
Yes.
Do you believe that she should get some treatment, counseling?
She should have been getting treatment this whole time. I don't know why she hasn't.
With regards to your daughter, she has mental health problems. Is that correct?
Correct.
She's been to Purveya Health and got treatment there, correct?
Correct.
She's received treatment through Bellin Psychiatric Center in the past. Is that fair? She was under a civil commitment order in order to take psychotropic medications, a court order, correct?
I believe so, yeah.
That she was found mentally ill in the past by a court of law here in the state of Wisconsin?
Yes.
You were involved in that process, weren't you?
I was.
Trying to get your help for your daughter, correct?
Yeah.
Lots of different medications were tried, correct?
That is correct, yeah. Some that, like she was just the guinea pig for some of that medication, they just did not work and probably too strong. I'm not I don't, not qualified, I guess, to say that, but just what, not work for her.
Sure. And Mr. Coronado, what, when she was staying at the Nicolet Psychiatric Center, was it your understanding that she was getting injectable antipsychotic medication during that short period of time that she was there?
I believe so.
And then she was released, and then the medication stopped, correct?
Correct.
Fair to say that your daughter had been receiving mental health treatment or counseling for quite a long time, since her younger years?
That's fair, yep.
That she was, it would start, then it would stop. There was no consistency. Is that fair?
That's fair.
Do you feel that she fell through the cracks with regards to mental health treatment and all that other kind of treatment?
Definitely.
You talked to the people from the Department of Corrections, Rebecca Chavez, correct?
I believe that was her name. Wasn't sure.
Did you, when you found out that Taylor, your daughter, was involved with Warren Schabo, did you talk to her about the relationship, or did your daughter come to you and talk about the relationship, whether there were problems or it was good? Can you tell me about that?
No, they mostly kept to themselves. I mean, I knew she was seeing him, but they mostly kept to themselves. So she was working there, and then she quit her job and just hung out with him. So during that time, when he was out of jail, we didn't really communicate too much.
Was Mr. Schabo abusive to your daughter?
I believe it was, yeah.
Okay. When your daughter was living with you, did she ever come to tell you that she was having hallucinations, visual or auditory hallucinations? She was seeing things, hearing things, anything like that?
Yes.
Can you tell me a little bit about that, when that happened and what she told you?
Just that she would see shadows, you know, from time to time.
And she'd hear things?
I believe so, yep.
What did you do?
It would come and go. Well, just talk to her, you know, calmed her down, walked around until we were able to get her some help, or try to get her some help through Perea.
You agree that over time, the field of medicine, the field of psychiatry, the field of psychology improves every year, every year. You agree with that?
Yeah. I mean, she's, if she was taking the medicine, you know, or if it was around, but I don't think the medicine really quite worked for her. You know, she'd be drowsy, would take a different effect on her.
Make her a zombie?
She didn't feel it. Definitely, yes.
What else were you going to say?
Just she wouldn't feel right. Her stomach would hurt, you know, and just a lot of issues with the prescribed medicine.
Would you agree that your daughter has redeeming qualities to her?
Sure.
Can you tell me what they are?
She's, I don't know, she could. Sad for me to sit up here, you know, knowing what happened and stuff, and knowing my daughter the way, you know, she was, and the way she, I know she still can be. It's just night and day. She was always a loving, caring person. You know, she liked to have fun, you know, liked to joke around a lot. You know, she's not the monster that, you know, she's being made out to be. That's for sure.
You agree your daughter's got to be punished?
I'm sorry?
Do you agree that your daughter has to be punished?
Has to be punished?
Yes.
I'm sure it is.
Are you saying you want the court to give her a chance to get back into society in the future at some point?
Definitely, yes. Yes. She need help, mental help, for sure.
And
is she going to get that help? No, from whatever happens, you know, moving forward, I don't know, but she definitely needs help.
And is she able to love?
Yes.
Is she able to form relationships with family members?
Definitely.
Friends?
Yep.
When she lived with you, did she have friends over sometimes, or bring people over?
All the time, yeah. She had many friends.
And did she like to go to Ohio to visit extended family over there?
Whenever we would go, yeah. Mostly went when they were younger.
Your daughter, do you think she's a lost cause or not?
No. No.
You think she could be fixed?
Yes, for sure. Definitely.
Going to take some time, though, right?
Yeah. With the right help, of course.
Nothing further from me.
That wraps up part one. There is more to come and more of the sentencing and victim impact statements in the Taylor Ship Business sentencing hearing. More of that coming up. Press subscribe and stay with us.
This has been a special report from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers Podcast.